Please give a very warm welcome to our friend and our brother, Dr. Santa Ono, the president of UBC. Yes.
Thank you very much, everyone. It's really wonderful to see all of you here. I was just wondering, is anybody here a student at UBC right now? If you are, raise your hand. Quite a few of you here. Anybody here a graduate or alumnus of UBC? Raise your hand. That's pretty amazing. And you can see UBC is everywhere. And hello, UBC. Good morning, or almost good afternoon by a couple of minutes. I've been looking forward to having this conversation with you about the power of Jesus and about servant leadership. And thank you to the choir and to the musicians, even one that plays the cello and also plays the guitar. That's pretty amazing. Thank you for setting the stage for this conversation. What great news about UBC and about having part of 10th Church, a church plant at UBC. The more individuals and organizations are there telling the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the better off we will be as a university, as a community, and welcome to UBC. For all of you, I just want to talk a little bit about and pretend for a moment that I'm a professor at the Sauder School of Business. Anybody here from Sauder? No, it's a couple people here from Sauder. If anybody knows anything about me, they know that I know nothing about business, even though every now and then I teach at Sauder. Sometimes I've even written something for the Harvard Business Review and for MIT Sloan's magazine. And if you're interested, I can send you some of those articles. And some of those articles really focus on leadership. And it's really more of an experiential thing because I have no credentials in business. I don't have an MBA. I don't have a BBA. But sometimes these organizations ask people who are practitioners to talk a little bit about their perspective. And some of you may know that if you are in a business school, that one of the things that they think about are what are effective ways to lead organizations. And in business schools, it's really focused on companies, small ones, SMEs, and larger ones, Fortune 500 companies. And when you take those courses, there are different models of leadership that are considered. One that doesn't get much attention is the model of servant leadership. There's a lot of courses that are focused on being a leader, being a CEO, and there's a lot talked about sort of the personality traits that make someone a good leader. And if you really think about what a leader is to an organization, whether it's a company, whether it's an academic institution, whether it's a church, the leader is just an individual who others follow. And they have responsibilities to organize that institution and to set it moving as much as possible towards a vision, a collective vision, and to achieve the mission of the institution. So, you know, in those courses, there's not much discussed about servant leadership. But I am here to argue, and I hope I'll be persuasive, that servant leadership is perhaps, in my view, the most powerful model of leading. And if you look around the world at world leaders, there are different kinds of leaders. There are those that lead by intimidation. There are those that lead by being imposing and saying, I'm powerful, aren't I smart? I'm not mentioning any names. And there are different kinds of leaders. There are those like Mahatma Gandhi or Mother Teresa. There's someone that I know who was the founding president of Keio University in Japan. I don't know if anybody's here from Japan. Is anybody here from Japan? Keio Daigaku wa subarashii toko desu ne. Yeah. What I said is, isn't Keio pretty cool in Japanese? It's one of the top, it's probably the top private university in Japan. She's probably not Keio, and she says, what are you talking about? But it's definitely one of the more respected institutions. And ironically, it's a place that a lot of politicians, a lot of leaders come from. But it has a servant leadership model at its core. Its founder felt that unlike other institutions where leaders, and this is true, I'm sorry to say, at UBC, that leaders wear gowns, regalia, and they tend to be pretty fancy. And unfortunately, they sort of perpetuate the stereotype that a leader has to be look a certain way and act a certain way. But at Keio University, they actually innovated by saying that the leader should actually look the poorest in the institution, should wear normal clothes. And so if you actually see a painting of him in one of the oldest buildings there, the person who looks poorest is actually the president of Keio University. And I'm here to argue that that's something very profound. There's some other companies, big companies like Ben & Jerry's, where their philosophy is that a leader should be close to those they are to lead. Because actually, what you're trying to do as a leader is to hopefully inspire and hopefully have individuals follow you to further an end which is good for that institution, or in the case of a church or a nation, try to move that whole group of people towards a better place. So, you know, it's a little bit risky, but what I do when I speak at business schools about leadership is I actually talk about the Bible. I say that the most profound example of leadership is in the Bible. And what I don't say, but I'll say to you today, and I don't say this because I'm using a secular institution with multiple faiths, and as a leader of a secular university, I need to respect and love all the members of that institution. So I do have to be careful about not going a little bit too far and talking about just one faith. And that is part of my responsibility as a leader of UBC. But here, at 10th, I can go one step further, and I can say that it's not just in the Bible, but it's in the example of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can find the best example of leadership. And it's a different kind of leadership. You know, if you think about a Fortune 500 company or a nation, they teach about the pyramid structure of that organization with the president or prime minister or CEO at the top of the pyramid, leading all of everybody else in that organization or that nation. That's what they teach. What you find in the Bible, more profoundly illustrated and articulated than any other textbook or any course, is they take that pyramid and they flip it around so that the leader is at the bottom of the organizational chart, that the leader is there to serve everyone else. If you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, think about what he did. The only begotten Son of God, the most powerful of all individuals on this planet, he died for us. He sacrificed his life in a very arduous, painful, difficult period where he was crucified on a cross as a ransom for us so that our sins could be forgiven. What greater example of a leader serving the others? Dying for the rest of us, even those who didn't even exist at the time, who had come millennia after his death. What more profound example could there be? This was the Lord Jesus Christ who would also wash the feet of his followers. What a beautiful example of service. Let me talk to you a little about the Bible. I said that there's much more about leadership in the Bible and in the example of Lord Jesus Christ than in any course at any business school. Let me tell you about a very key part of the Bible that is sort of my roadmap or set of guideposts on how to lead. Excuse me, piano. So basically, what I just said about the Lord Jesus Christ is captured in the Gospel of Mark 10:45, where he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many," for us. It's right there. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first servant leader. And if you look back into the Bible, you can see that that model was atypical at the time. Even men of the cloth, rabbis, leaders of other faith groups, dressed in sometimes ostentatious ways, were privileged. Other leaders in the communities walked around with arrogance and with pride. That's what leaders were supposed to look like. They thought about what would it be that would make them be perceived as greater, creating a distance between them at the top and everyone else in their organizations or their communities. What is captured in Luke turns everything upside down, and I argue is the way we should all live our lives. In Luke 22:25-26 and beyond, think about what's happening. It's the Last Supper. Jesus is there with his disciples. And he says, "One of you is going to use your hand and betray me." I want to go back to the significance, or at least my view of the significance of that comment. Most people think when he says that, "One of you is going to betray me," they think that they're talking about the days before his crucifixion. And I think certainly that's one interpretation of it, but I think there's a second interpretation of betrayal that pertains to all of us. And it has to do with how we use our lives. And then after that, those around him, the most wonderful, the most glorious Lord Jesus Christ, instead of thinking about that, which among us is going to betray him? Do you know what they think? They ask each other, which one of us is going to be the greatest? Can you believe that? If you were there at a supper with the Lord Jesus Christ, would you be asking yourselves, am I going to be the greatest, or is he going to be the greatest, or is she going to be the greatest? You see, it illustrates the weaknesses and the imperfections of humans. And we're all like that. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, because we all sin, and we all make the mistake of asking ourselves, how can we be the greatest? How can we be perceived and respected and admired? It's a human sin. But we learn from this passage so much about what we should strive to be, how we should strive to lead. So I'll get back to what I think he means by "one of you will betray me," and what it means to ourselves and how we hold ourselves and how we lead. Because remember, don't any one of you think that you are not a leader. Everyone is a leader. All it means to be a leader is that in your family, in your neighborhood, in your organization, in your church, in your SME, in your startup, in your Fortune 500 company, All of you are leaders because other people are watching you and you influence them. And if you do things the right way, as the Lord Jesus Christ did, people will follow you. Even if you aren't wearing the most beautiful clothes, even if you don't have a $300 haircut, I cut my own hair, you can see it's pretty bad. People follow you not for those reasons. People follow you because they believe you, because in how you lead your life, you inspire them. And if you don't do that, then you betray him. You betray him because through the gospel, he has tried to teach us how to lead our lives. And if you don't try to do that, then you betray him. And he says in Luke 25 to 26, 22, the kings of the Gentiles, the way they behaved, exercise lordship over them. Remember the pyramid? I am a lord. I am over you. Right? That's sort of the Harvard Business School model of being a CEO or a head of state. I'm a lord over you. And those in authority over them were called benefactors. You might say benefaction, being a benefactor, is a good thing. It actually isn't. If you look at a list of benefactors in the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra book, there are two types of benefactors. The word benefactor historically has meant individuals who want to be recognized for doing good. What we learn from this scripture is that that's not how Christ would be. He didn't expect to be recognized or adored or admired for what he did. He just did it because it was the right thing to do. So if you look at benefactors in a program for an orchestra or something, what Christ would want would be for you to be that anonymous donor. Someone who gives out of love and not for recognition. And that is a cornerstone of servant leadership. But not so with you, said Jesus to those around him in the table. Not so with you. You are not like the kings of the Gentiles who exercised lordship over them, the traditional model of leadership. Rather, going back to the question, who amongst us is the greatest, which is the wrong question, because no one is greater than anyone else. And there is only one greatest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sooner we recognize that, the better we will be. But following on with that question, he said, the greatest among you become as the youngest. It's very profound. And then ultimately you become that leader who serves. Jesus lays it all on the line. It's not about wearing the most fancy robes. It's not about having the best haircut. It's not about being respected. It's not about being someone who's immune from or protected with this veneer that people can't make fun of you. None of that. Rather be like the youngest. You know, when you look around you, I came from a wedding the other day. Everyone is gravitating towards and has this love for the flower girl or the ring bearer because they're young. And if you think about what's at the root of that, it's because they are pure and because their motives are through love. Not because they want to be the center of attention or because they want to be respected. It's because they are young. And Jesus is saying, always remember your youth and be an honest and transparent servant to others. So, what do I think servant leadership means then? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you might lead. It could be in your family. It could be in your school. If you're a student, it could be in a club. The more you focus on the model of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more that you are young, the more that you dedicate your life to loving others, and the more you gravitate away from wanting to be perceived as great, then what you will be doing is sharing the good news of the gospel. And then what you will be doing will be that you will be building the kingdom as the Lord wishes you to do. You seek glory not for yourself, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of your actions are focused on others. And so I'd like to say, with one last example before we pray. You know, speaking about leaders, I want to focus not on corporate leaders, but I want to focus on leaders of nations for a moment. Not the current leaders of nations. But I want to talk about the situation that you might have remembered during the Civil War in the U.S. This is what it was like. There was a battle brewing, and there was a sergeant who was on his horse in an immaculately clean uniform on the horse. And it was raining, and there were mud puddles everywhere. And they had to put up all these tents really quickly. And that sergeant was barking orders saying, "Faster, faster, put up those tents." And then somebody actually came by, someone else. And he said, "Why do you lead in that way?" "Well, I'm the sergeant." And that person said nothing. He got off his horse and he joined the military men, got muddy. His uniform got dirty. He was cold, and he helped with the work. That person was none other than George Washington, the first president of the United States. And when asked, "Why did you do that? You're the president, the commander-in-chief," he said, "Because if there's any credibility I might have as a leader, it is through my service. And it is being there with the men." Just one example of a servant leader. I ask you then to please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are here to serve you. We know that we sin. We know that far too often we think about how we're perceived, and we know that each and every one, being imperfect, think about how others think of us, and sometimes we want to be respected. Sometimes we want to be acknowledged. But dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be amongst us, to give us through his example when he washed the feet of his followers, to give us his example of service, the greatest service one could ever give, to give his own life in ransom for us who weren't even with him at the time. Dear Heavenly Father, let us remember and give us strength that we are here to serve, that we are here not to be stronger or prouder, that we are not here to lead through intimidation or position, but we are here to serve you. We are here to recognize that you are the greatest and to live like you, like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we could be servant leaders. In Jesus' name, amen.